Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. David.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. It's our first rendition of Mac and T Stories.
Gotta love it. Mac and T Story.
How's it going today, T?
It's going great. Excited to see how the fans like Mac and T Stories.
Yes, I'm interested to see how this is going to be. I was telling T, I've only gotten through a quarter of the way through her story, her novel so far. So that's where we're going to stop today in our reading. But I'm enjoying it, and I'm looking forward to probably going to bring it, put it on my iCloud, take it with me, pull it up on my phone while I'm sitting at the doctor's office here in a little while. So, yeah. Anyway, I was going to let T, before we get started reading, go ahead and kind of introduce the characters to us.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you will have to pay a little bit of attention because there are several characters, but the main character is Emmanuel Christian Love, who is the son of Bishop Orlando and Olivia Love, and he is an only child. Now, he has some friends, which, I mean, I don't want to get you too confused, but you'll meet other characters, which are his friends, Sean and Francis. And then you'll meet some of I don't want to give too much away, but some other interesting characters along the way. And then we have Rowan Grace, whose parent is Javier Sanchez, a baseball player, and Felicia Sanchez, who is a music teacher and homemaker. And Rowan is also only child. It'll be pretty easy to catch up.
Yes, trust me. If you are listening, you will not have any problems. I just hope we can read.
Right. Like with the kids, this is where all that practice come from.
When
you could read to the kids.
Thank God I've been reading all these little children's books these last couple of years.
That's hilarious because you have to read out loud to the kids.
Yes. Because, you know, other than that, I have no reading out loud experience. All right. Do you want to...
So, the title is All of Me. And the first
chapter... And All of You.
Yeah.
No, oh, sorry.
honestly, I don't even remember why I titled it All of Me. But we're about to have to find out. Chapter 1 comes to light. Emmanuel Christian Love stood in the room by the side of Victoria Heights in his Armani tuxedo, looking as dapper as any man in the room. Though he wasn't a member of the aristocratic society and had no desire to be, he had learned to do what many men had tried and failed to. He learned to fit in, which wasn't an easy task. The members of high society could spot an imposter from miles away. But Emmanuel's charm and charisma went a long way. It didn't hurt that he was on the arm of one of the wealthiest women in South Sands Isle. Victoria is the daughter of Roosevelt Height III, owner of Heights Hotels, which had 5-star hotels across the West Coast. Victoria is a beautiful woman, long dark hair, green eyes, a lovely smile, and a model body. So, one might wonder why she might be with Emmanuel, or Christian, as she called him. On this occasion, she was with Christian because she had broken up with her latest male friend and needed a date to accompany her to a fundraiser which she was attending on this evening. Christian and Victoria had met years ago and after their first encounter, whenever she needed an escort, she called upon him. Even though he was a black man and not the soup of the day in her circles, he was fair-skinned and undoubtedly the best-looking man in the room wherever he went. His 6'4" frame, 195 pounds, was lean and could not go unnoticed in any room. He could have been a model and was often mistaken for one. His shadow beard helped him look older than his years, and the glasses he wore on this particular evening made him look more sophisticated. Once the evening was over, Krishna walked Victoria to her limo, and they headed to the hotel. "What is it about you that women love you so?" Victoria asked. "I couldn't answer that. I wasn't aware that was the case," he said. Victoria chuckled as she poured herself a glass of wine. She would have offered him one, but she knew he didn't care for alcohol. "Really?" She looked at him intently. "So, do you have a significant other these days?" She was always curious. He grinned, showing a hint of his white teeth. "No." "Why, are you taking applications?" "No, but when I do, you will be the first person I call." Victoria batted her eyes at him. Christian was unfazed, unlike most men. He was used to her ways. Once at the hotel, Christian escorted Victoria to their penthouse suite for a nightcap. No sooner than he stepped inside, Victoria accosted him. She began to take off his clothes and hers. He lifted her off her feet and carried her to the bedroom, where the exchange continued. She kissed his chest, his neck, knowing the rules were no lip locking. She always wondered, could he kiss? She suspected he could because he was excellent at coitus. Even without French kissing, he made her feel like no other man she had been with, and she looked forward to their encounters even when she had a partner. If she could be sure that he would give up his life as an escort, she would strongly consider tempting fate and making him her man. But she couldn't tempt fate. There was no way her father would go for her marrying Christian, even though he dealt with her seeing him on occasion. So she would reside to having him when she needed him or wanted him. Christian handled his business and cuddled with Victoria, which was part of the deal. There would be no loving and leaving unless Victoria said so. Tonight was to stay, and he would fly out the following morning on Heist's jet back to Antioch, where he resided. Christian strolled off the jet, and his bags were handed to him as he headed for the airport. He spoke to the young lady at the desk as he strolled to his Corvette waiting in the parking lot. As he rode down the street, headed home, he called his friend Sean to see what he was up to. Christian felt like working out and called to see if his partner was up for it. Within an hour, they were in the gym lifting weights, and after which they headed to the sauna. "So what's up with you on last night?" Sean asked. "Nothing. You?" He never talked about his clients. The less people knew, the better. Though Sean was aware of what he did because he once participated. It had been years since he worked, and he was out of the loop. "Nothing, but I need a favor." "Well, what might that be?" Christian asked. "Well, you know Parker and I get married. Well, she wants you to accompany her friend to the wedding." "You can't afford me," Christian joked. "I know. That's why I said favor." Christian laughed. "What, is she ugly?" "No, Rowan is not ugly." "Rowan," Christian said. "Yes, Rowan." "Have you seen this Rowan?" Christian wanted to know. "Yes. She's in theater. She's beautiful." "Yeah. That's why she needs her friends to hook her up," Christian said. "Whatever, man, I'm not asking you to marry her. I just want you to bring her to the wedding. Please, I will owe you big time." Christian and Sean went way back. So he would do almost anything to help his friend out. And Sean is an attorney, and whenever Christian needs assistance, he was there. So he said yes. As Christian drove home, he thought about his life. It might be nice to accompany a regular woman to an event. Though he enjoyed his job, he did not know if he would ever get used to hanging around the aristocrats. He was just an average guy from Antioch, and he rather liked his drama-free life. With his occupation, he had the best of both worlds.
Chapter 2. First. Christian pulled up at Rowan's place. She wasn't doing too badly for herself. She lived in a nice neighborhood called Cambridge Crossing. He guessed being a writer, producer, and director of stage plays paid better than he knew. But that was none of his business, he thought as he pulled up and parked in front of her garage. As he walked to the house, he wondered what he had gotten himself into. It was odd that Sean had asked him last minute to bring this woman to the wedding. He rang the doorbell and waited. Seconds passed, and the door opened. Christian was pleasantly surprised. Rowan was very attractive, awe-inspiring even. He had to gather himself when he saw her. He didn't know what she would look like, but he didn't think she would be so breathtaking. "Christian," she said. "Rowan," Christian smiled. Come in. Rowan felt uncomfortable with the whole thing, but she was doing Parker a favor, so she went with it. Rowan wondered why a handsome man like Christian could not get a date. Christian was very attractive and dapper man. He looked marvelous in the black two-piece suit he wore, and she loved the beard he sported. The glasses made him look intelligent. It wasn't long before Christian and Rowan arrived at the church. It was a lovely day, and not as hot as many June days in Antioch, but hot. Rowan and Christian were seated on the bride's side. Christian would have rather sat on the groom's side, but he knew Parker, and she was a nice lady in his assessment, though she could be controlling according to Sean, which is the reason Christian was not in the wedding party. Parker had three brothers who were to be in the party, so Sean got to pick one groomsman. His sister was in the bride's party, and he got to pick his best man. Christian was unfazed when Sean came to him apologizing about the situation. It was no big deal to Christian. He would support his friend in whatever manner he needed, and that was taking Parker's friend to the wedding. The wedding was over, and it wasn't long before Christian and Rowan were at the reception. Christian pulled out Rowan's chair as they sat for the meal. These two strangers talked about how beautiful the decorations were and how nice the wedding had been. "So Christian, what do you do for a living?" Rowan asked. "I'm an independent contractor," Christian said. "What do you contract?" Rowan wanted to know. "I help people in need. But I'm not in the liberty to discuss specifics," Christian said. "I have signed confidentiality agreements with my clients. What do you do for a living?" "I dabble in the theater," Rowan was being modest. "Lovely. I'll have to catch one of your plays," Christian flashed his brilliant smile at Rowan. She used all her power not to be taken in by his charm. She had seen his type before and knew he was not remotely interested in what she was. "So how do you know Sean?" Rowan had known Parker for 3 years, and she had been around Christian for a while, but never met Christian, though she had heard his name before. Christian explained that they met during their college years. Other guests came to the table. The conversation changed as everyone got acquainted. Christian noticed Rowan didn't say much, and he wondered why was she shy, or just not that least bit interested in conversation. After the wedding, Christian took Rowan home. Rowan thanked Christian for accompanying her to the wedding as they stood at her front door. "I would very much like to see you again," he said as he stood beside her vehicle. Rowan looked up at the lovely stranger. "I don't think I am your type," she said. "So you are just going to put me in a box," Christian said. "I would never do that," Rowan said. "I try not to judge." Christian smiled. "Great. So what is your number?" he said, pulling out his phone. Rowan looked at the tall, handsome stranger that stood before her, smelling as good as he looked. She considered her options. There was no denying that she was attracted to the man. Still, there was something about him that made her uneasy. It wasn't just the way he looked into her eyes when he spoke to her, though that didn't help. It wasn't the smooth cadence with which he spoke, though that didn't help either. It wasn't his brilliant smile, which she loved. She couldn't put her finger on it as she stood there, but there was something about him that gave her pause. "Penny for your thoughts," Christian said After they stood in 2 minute seconds of silence for his liking, Rowan looked at Christian once more before deciding to go with her gut. I really don't think us seeing each other again would be a good idea. Thanks for seeing me home. You have a good evening, Mr. Love, Rowan said. This was new. Not many women had turned down his advances. Maybe during the early middle school days, but none since then that he could recall. This was not over, he told himself. He would see Miss Grace again, if it was the last thing he did.
Chapter 3, Courtship. Rowan sat in the theater after rehearsing, talking to her friend Asia, when a worker at the theater came over with an oversized teddy bear. Rowan thanked the guy and contemplated telling Asia about Christian. She could not lie and say she didn't know where the gifts came from because he had made sure she knew it was him with each card that came with the gifts. Monday, it had been flowers. Tuesday, flowers and candy. Wednesday, flowers, candy, and a stuffed animal. Thursday, flowers, candy, and a bigger stuffed animal. It's the guy I met when I went to Parker's wedding, she told Asia. You must have made some impression, Asia smiled. What does he look like? He is nice looking, Rowan said. Rowan thought this had to stop. She wasn't big on people being in her personal affairs, and these gifts would surely start the whispers and rumor mill going among her people. Some girls have all the luck, Asia teased. Now what am I going to do with this thing? Rowan said. Take it home and put it beside your bed so you can know somebody likes you. I don't need this to know someone likes me, Rowan said. I know that. So what does the card say? Rowan looked at the card in her hand. It was larger than the other small notes that had come with the flowers each day. She took a seat behind her desk and opened her desk drawer. She pulled out a letter opener from the drawer and slid it across the envelope. She then retrieved the card. Hello, Rowan. I pray this card finds you doing well, and I hope you had a great week. Mine has been fine, but would be better if you would agree to have dinner with me. I have made reservations at Antonio's for tomorrow night at 7, if you care to join me. I would really love to see you again. Warmest regards, Christian. What does it say? Asia wanted to know. Rowan handed her the card and proceeded to look at the script in her lap. Are you going? Asia asked. I don't know, Rowan said. Okay, this guy must be ugly, Asia said before she knew it. Rowan looked at her friend. No, he's not ugly, she said with a smile. Well, what is the problem? You are not seeing anyone unless you have been holding out on me. So what's the deal? Rowan didn't exactly know how to explain her qualms about Christian, but she had them nonetheless. She could not deny she rather enjoyed the gifts, though they were beginning to be a bit much. She was okay with the flowers. She didn't care too much for candy, but she liked the stuffed teddy bears. She had loved them since she was a child. I don't know, Rowan conceded. I think you should go, Asia said. You need to get out before we go on our tour. Besides, when was the last time you went on a date? Oh, yes, when you went with him to the wedding. Whatever, Rowan said. Yes, I have always wanted to go to Antonio's, but it is out of my pay grade, Asia joked. Antonio's is a 5-star restaurant. It's the type of establishment where they didn't put the price on the menu. Only the high rollers ate there, the athletes, politicians, entertainers, and the wealthy. Asia was curious as to how the man even got reservations to the place. It was said to be booked for months on end. You can afford to go. You just don't want to, Rowan said. So, are you going? Asia ignored her friend. I'll think about it, Rowan said. Let's finish this up. Rowan headed to her car and finished off the bottle of water she had started, all the while thinking about Mr. Christian Love. He had intrigued her like no guy she had met since being in Antioch, but there was that one thing in her gut that continually concerned her about him. Something about him didn't sit right.
All I can say, dear listeners, is much like this story, our reading is bound to a...
It's choppy. It's going to improve.
Ooh, we child. Things are going to get easy.
Right.
Okay. Things that get brighter.
Oh, I ain't read this, Brian, since that's all right. I wrote it.
That's all right. Oh, we on chapter 4.
And I was like, what happened? In my mind, I was like, what happened? Well, I think I remember. Go ahead.
Chapter 4, Nerds. Christian was sitting on the front row of one of the up-and-coming designers in the country alongside Lynn Wise, his client for the evening. Lynn was very much into design and had coached Christian on the art of style. Being a coordinator of fashion shows, Lynn knew several designers, new and old. She was well known in her circle for coordinating some of the most fabulous shows all over the globe. On this particular evening, she and Christian were in France. Like most of Christian's clients, no one would ever figure this woman would pay for the services of a man. She is beautiful. Like the majority of his clients, she was at the top of her field, and it would seem easy to find a man. But that was not the case. Many men were afraid of women who could take care of themselves, didn't need someone to buy them anything, and could command a room. The men that could potentially stand beside a woman like Lynn or Victoria were often too busy working their way up the corporate ladder for themselves. Men of power didn't have time to follow their women around to events. They had events of their own. Thus the issue. It was easier to get a woman who was pretty and didn't mind sitting on the sidelines. Now this wasn't always the case, but this is the case often, which worked out in men like Christian's favor. There was a need to be fulfilled and someone had to do it. After the show, Lynn and Christian went to the after party looking like the perfect couple. His frame was not dwarfed by her 6-foot-plus in heels, just the way she liked it. The two went and mingled for hours before heading to the hotel. During pillow talk, Lynn asked, "So I wish you would reconsider my offer. One day I might take you up on it," Christian said. "You keep saying that, but the longer you wait, the older you get. And the game is not for old men," Lynn said. "Good thing I'm not an old man," Christian said. "I am serious, Christian. You know how many people ask me about you every time we are at an event?" Lynn said. "No, but I'm sure you will tell me," Christian said. Lynn playfully hit Christian. "I'm serious, Christian." "I'll think about it," Christian said, what he had said several times. "But are you sure you want to give all this up? Lynn looked at him and smiled. "You are something else." "That's why you love me," Christian said. Lynn just shook her head and rolled over. "Good night." "Good night." A couple of days later, Christian sat at Antonio's in his Armani black pinstripe suit with a pink shirt and tie. He was nervous as he sat wondering if Rowan would show. He told himself he was tripping over and over again. She was just another woman, and he went on dates with women all the time. It was not a big deal at all, he told himself. She was just another woman, it was just another date. All of that went out the window when Rowan walked in wearing a black dress that hugged her in all the right places. Yes, indeed. Christian felt his heartbeat quicken as he stood to his feet. "Hello, I am happy you came," he said. Rowan smiled. Christian walked over to her, put his hand in the small of her back, and escorted her to the table in the private room they now shared. He pulled out her chair. "Thank you," Rowan said as she adjusted her dress under and took a seat. Christian walked back to the seat and sat across from Rowan. "You look beautiful this evening," Christian said. "Thank you," Rowan said. "I like the pink." Christian looked down as he forgot what he was wearing. "Thanks," Christian smiled. "A drink, madame?" the waiter said, holding a bottle of wine with a white towel over his arm. "Water, please," Rowan said. "You don't drink?" Christian asked. "No," Rowan said. Christian smiled. "What?" Rowan asked. "I don't drink either," Christian said. "So we already have so much in common." Rowan grinned as she looked over the menu. "Can I ask you something?" Rowan asked. "Sure," Christian said. He already knew what he'd be having. How do you get reservations at this place? I heard it is booked for the next month, Rowan stated. I know a few people. Did I tell you how beautiful you look this evening? Christian said. Rowan grinned. Yes, you did. Oh, look. I'm going to be totally honest with you. I'm attracted to you. And I want to get to know you better. And I don't like being rejected. So if you're not feeling me, I really need you to let me down easy. Rowan laughed. Christian smiled. What? He said. Nothing, Rowan said. You didn't laugh because of nothing, Christian said. Rowan thought he was cute, and at that moment, he didn't seem to the suave womanizer she pegged him to be. What do you suggest? Rowan asked. Everything I have ever eaten here is fabulous. What are you eating? I'm having a salmon on a bed of spinach and scalloped potatoes, he said. I think I'll try that, Rowan said. Christian slightly raised his hand, getting the waiter's attention. The man came over and took their orders. Christian whispered at the waiter's ear. The man nodded and walked away. Minutes later, the soft sound of jazz filled the room. So who is Rowan? Christian looked intently at the woman that was taking his breath away. Rowan smiled slightly. Who is Rowan? Rowan is a simple woman with a simple life. Wow. You just said a lot of nothing, Christian said. Really? Well, can you do better? Who is Christian? Rowan put the ball in his court. Christian Love is the only son of Bishop Orlando and Olivia Love. He graduated top of his class with an MBA from Shiloh University. He loves music and is currently sitting with the most beautiful woman this side of the Atlantic Ocean. He really knew how to pay it on, Rowan thought. Still, his words made her feel warm inside. So you are a PK? Rowan asked. Yes, and before you put me in another box, I want you to know that I am not your prototypical pastor's child, Christian said. How so? Rowan asked. I have a great relationship with my parents. My father did an excellent job balancing his job and his family life, Christian said. I have been blessed in that aspect. He felt comfortable talking to her about his life, and he didn't know why. Well, that's comforting to know. Wait a minute. Bishop Love of New Life Church is your father? Rowan just put the name together. One and the same. You know him, Christian beamed. My mother joined New Life about 4, maybe 5 years ago. I've been there several times. He's a powerful preacher. I actually enjoy his teachings, Rowan said. Christian just grinned. So where are you from? Corinthian. Born and raised, Rowan said. See, we were made for each other. I'm a Corinthian too, Christian smiled. How did you end up in Antioch? Rowan was curious. After I left Shiloh, I moved up here, Christian said. Enough about me. Who is Rowan Grace? Rowan smiled before telling him her parents' name. Christian was not that big on sports, so he did not recognize Javier Sanchez for who he was. Javier was a baseball player who played shortstop and won 5 Gold Glove Awards. The conversation took off from there. They shared a meal and Christian talked her into sharing a dessert. Christian walked Rowan to the front of the restaurant where they waited for their cars. Next time, you will have to let me pick you up like a gentleman should, Christian said. Next time, Rowan looked at him, she had to admit she not only loved his good looks, but his size. Being 6 feet, it was rare for her to find a man that she could look eye to eye with in her heels. Yeah, next time, Christian looked her in the eyes and offered a smile. What's your number? He took the phone from his suit pocket and handed it to her. Rowan took the phone and punched in her number. Thank you. His smile widened. Christian grabbed the car door and touched the small of her back as she got in the car. She didn't like when he touched her because she felt some kind of way when he did. Good night, he said, and watched as she drove away.
Chapter 5. Olivia walked into the house with her sister-in-law Anne behind her. that dress is going to go perfect with Bishop's suit, Anne said. I know. I just hope the shoes I had in mind match, Olivia said. Don't worry. If they don't, I'll be happy to go shopping with you again, Anne said. Olivia laughed. Anne loved to shop. She shopped when she was happy. She shopped when she was sad. She shopped when she was stressed. According to her, shopping was therapy. I could have a worse vice, Anne always said. Is Christian coming home for the anniversary? Anne asked as she took a seat on the couch. I don't know. I pray he is. I have not seen him in months, Olivia said. When was the last time you saw him? He came home for my birthday in April, Olivia said. You know he is busy with his contracting work. I am so proud of him. He is doing so well for himself, Anne said. Thank God, Olivia said. She prayed for her son continually. How are things going with Neil? Good. She and Ian are getting along pretty well, Anne said. There may be wedding bells soon. The doorbell rang. Anne, will you get that? Olivia said and took the dress to her room. Anne went to the front door and opened it. She smiled wildly when she saw Christian standing in the door. He quickly put a finger to his mouth. Shh, is she here? He said. Anne nodded. Christian eased in the house and hugged his aunt. Anne, who is it? Olivia yelled. Some guy trying to sell magazines, Anne said. Christian chuckled. Selling magazines? Who is it? Olivia walked into the living room. She lit up like a Christmas tree when she saw her son standing in the living room. She rushed over to him and gave him a big hug. Christian, when did you get here? Olivia asked as she looked over him as if checking for damage. I just drove down, Christian smiled. Olivia stepped back and looked at her son. He was just as dapper as his father. He was a little taller and leaner, but just as handsome. Boy, you have to take me for a spin, Anne said, looking at the Corvette. No problem, Aunt Anne, Christian said. Olivia hugged her son again. I'm so happy you could make it. Have you eaten? Why do you always ask me that? Christian said. Because you look like you don't have eat, Anne said. I eat plenty. Christian took a seat. Where's Pops? He should be home in a minute, Olivia said. So where are you coming from this time? Italy, France, Switzerland? Anne wanted to know. Antioch, he said. How is everything going there? Anne asked. It's going well, Christian said. The three made small talk. 10 minutes later, Orlando came home with Ian. Hello, Orlando spoke. He kissed his wife on the temple. He looked at Christian. When did you get here, boy? Christian stood and hugged his father. I just rolled in, Christian said. He shot a look at Ian. He, like Ian, had heard the rumors. What's up, Ian? Christian spoke. Well, I'm going to get out of here. Ian, can you move my car? Anne said. Sure. I will give you a call later, Bishop, so we can discuss next week's itinerary. First Lady, he shot a look at Olivia. It didn't get past Anne or Christian. Thanks, son. Talk to you later, Orlando said. We are happy you could make it. You know I wouldn't miss it, your anniversary, Christian said. Good. Well, I am going to take you guys to dinner. I got to make a few calls and we can go. Baby, can you call Avella and see if they can get us in? Orlando said and strolled to his room. Christian went to his room and called Rowan. He needed to talk to her. Christian left his parents and headed to his room in the basement. Hello, Rowan answered. Hello, may I speak to Rowan? Christian said. This is Rowan, she said. Hello, how are you? Christian said. The two had not spoken for several days. He had been out of town working and had left to come home when he got back from his last assignment. He had called. They had talked on the phone almost every day since he had got her number. I'm well. You? Rowan said. All is well. How's life treating you? Life is good, but there is something I need to say, and that is, thanks for the gift, and I don't want you to think I don't appreciate them, because I do. But I like to keep my personal business personal, and well, it's difficult when you send gifts to my job. Roy paused. What's there to keep personal? What's wrong with people knowing you have a man? Christian said. I have a man? Roy said. This was news to her. Yes, you just don't know it yet, Christian replied. Oh, okay. Either way, I like to keep my personal life personal. I apologize. I just wanted to make sure you knew I was thinking about you. Roy liked his response. What are you up to? At home for my father's anniversary. What are you doing? Packing, getting ready to go on the road, she said. So, what are you doing tonight? Christian asked. I'm going to the Half Note with my friend. Your friend? Christian took note. She did not say the person's name. Yes, my friend. Cool, Christian said. What do you have planned for Sunday? Roy told him her plans, which consisted of going to church and resting. Christian teased her for being like his mother, which, if she knew, wasn't a bad thing. He loved his mother. The conversation continued until it came to time for Christian and his parents to go to dinner. All right, beautiful. I will call you later, Christian said. Okay, Roy said and laid her phone down. She smiled to herself. She could not deny she liked Christian, and the more they talked, the more she liked him. After talking to Roy, Christian got a call from Sean. They had not spoken since he had come back from the honeymoon. Sean asked about Roy. Yes, she was nice looking, Christian played it down. I know you wear glasses, but she was better than nice looking, Sean said. Though he was interested in Parker, and Parker alone, he was a man and could see. Okay, she was rather attractive, Christian said. So are you going to see her again? Sean asked. Why? Christian asked. Just curious. It seems like you two hit it off. I know you are busy and not your type, but... Sean had caught several glances of them dancing together during the wedding. Hold up. What is my type? Christian wanted to know. Roy had made the same assessment. Come on, you and I both know you only date millionaires. Beautiful ones, at that, Sean said. So, what are you saying? I'm shallow? No, I'm saying you have high standards. As a matter of fact, when was the last time you dated? I don't know why. Because I don't remember the last time you were in a serious, committed relationship. Oh, wait a minute. Never. Christian didn't care for how Sean was making fun of his situation. It was interesting that Sean had this opinion of him, considering as if he didn't once walk in Christian's shoes. I'm happy my love life amuses you, Christian decided, against telling him about Roy. Do you ever plan on settling down? Really? You have been married all of a week, and you are asking me that? Whatever, I'm settled down. Yes, well, when it's time, I will settle down, Christian said. Look, man, I'm just saying, I have women asking about you all the time. They will be perfect for you, Sean said. Matter of fact, several of Parker's co-workers wanted to know your status. Whatever, I can find my own woman, thank you, Christian said. Well, I just want what's best for you, Christian. And I know from experience you won't find the woman of your dreams every day. So don't waste your youth fooling around thinking you will just find that special someone when you are ready to settle down. That's all I'm saying. The two men chatted for a while longer before Sean ended the call. After talking to his friend, Christian went upstairs to see what his mother was doing. He knew his father was in his office working. She was watching a movie. Like when he was a little boy, he took off his shoes, lay his head in her lap, spread out on the couch, and watched with her. Olivia loved having her son home. Her only wish was he would visit more often.
Ooh, that seemed like a perfect place to stop it.
Mm-hmm. For today. We don't met the parents.
Yes, and they seem like there's some skeletons.
Well, yeah. And Roy concerned, and she rightfully so. And you heard the aunt talking about, so what, you contracted work. I had to keep him laughing because I was like, Lord, if y'all knew what he was contracting out.
I mean,
oh, did y'all knew what he was contracting? Because see, the reader already know it,
right?
Yeah, if y'all knew,
Yeah, I'm glad that you had to read that part, because I would have been, you know, me, I was laughing on the part I was reading some of the stuff that was funny to me. Yeah, so this was an interesting little thing. I say I enjoy it. I'm not fixing to enjoy the editing that I'm fixing to have to do, but that's okay, because next time will be much better.
First, I think around, it's going to be about 15 minutes, which is fine, because I don't see some short podcasts, and that'll get them time to just kind of read, and because that was hilarious.
Yes, but anyway, hope you all enjoy, and I hope you all are looking forward to what happens next as we delve more into all of me and all of you.
Oh, why?
But as always, I'm one of your co-hosts, Brian McKay, and I am with
T. God is Good Davis.
And this has been the Mac and T Show Podcast. Oh, excuse me, the Mac and T Show Stories. See you next time.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top. We're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.